This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sees me through. When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Michelle and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue, or introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change toward greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So tonight, we are going to be talking to some interesting and influential people that I will introduce in a moment. I've actually got the longest intro, I think, tonight. We're celebrating Idaho Day on the 17th of May, and how one organisation in Melbourne is leading the way in embracing diversity, and that is Banyule City Council. So tonight my guests are Councillor Craig Langdon, Mayor of Banyule City Council and Deputy Chair of Council's GLBTI Advisory Committee, Philip Orth, Community Representative on the newly formed GLBTI Advisory Committee, and Sean Nielsen, Banyule's Inclusion, Access and Equity Officer. I can't believe I messed that up. Equality. That's the world's longest intro. So welcome, guys. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks. Pleasure.
Thank you. I've just mentioned that Idaho Day is the 17th of May, very important date on the GLBTI calendar internationally. And something before we dive into why it's important for Banyule and why you're here tonight. I didn't realise where it came from, and something that I discovered myself was that the date, the 17th of May, I wondered why that date. It's specifically chosen to commemorate the World Health Organization's decision in 1990 to declassify homosexuality as a mental disorder. And that's not all that long ago either, is it?
It's not very long at all.
No, it isn't. So we're going to talk about Idaho Day and some of the events that are happening in Banyule's Council, but I wanted to ask all of you, why is Idaho Day so important? And you can all jump in.
I'll lead the mayor.
Look, the current city of Banyule councillors are very much in touch with the community and have a strong sense of social justice. Mm-hmm. And after years of not really being in the space of trying to promote multiculturalism, all the other communities we have, we're getting in that space now. So we've just set up a committee. I think we've had one meeting or two.
Two.
Now we're flowing on with this event as well.
Why is it, and this might seem like a simplistic question, but why is it so important, not just for your council, but any council for that matter? Why is it so important?
Inclusion.
Mm. And why? Why? Again, I'm asking. It sounds like a simple question, but why is it so important to us?
Might be one of our residents should perhaps respond.
I think if you ignore the diversity and multicultural elements within an area, a region, especially a fairly inner metropolitan region like Banyule, you're just leaving out a vast area of the population. And I've been in Banyule for 4 or 5 years now, and there is no sort of inclusion of gay people as a priority, I suppose. So the council's recognised this, and I think this initiative is, going some way to redress that balance and look at everyone within the community and give them some access to activities.
So, Sean, how do you do that? How do you get your community to be involved? Do you have to ask them what they want? How do you kind of do that?
That's kind of interesting. I guess it depends on who you're talking about in terms of your community in this space. So for me, like something... The topic of homophobia and transphobia can be kind of pretty overt. There can be overt acts of that, but I also think there can be a bit of a feeling maybe in the general community that doesn't exist. And I think that's partly why Events for Idaho are important, partly about raising knowledge that homophobic attitudes continue and maybe providing an opportunity for those conversations to be had or uncovered a little bit. I think that's really important. And I also think that just generally providing, as Philip said, providing a bit more visibility for our diverse community, particularly our GLBTI community, is really important. And it's something that, as an organisation and as a community, Banyule wants to celebrate, and this is one way of doing that. In terms of how you get people involved, I mean, that's kind of a bit of an ongoing challenge, really, isn't it? We're interested in two things. One, we're interested in engaging with our GLBTI community, obviously, and getting more aware of what's going on in local communities, and that's partly where our advisory committee comes in, but also we want to find out how we can create inclusion in the broader community, and that's where I think public events like For Idaho can play a role, anyway, at least in starting conversations in a broader community setting.
So, Philip, you're nodding your head quite vigorously. You're part of the new advisory committee. Is there one thing that you have to address first? Do you look at it in a holistic sense? What do you do?
I think we have to look at it in a holistic sense. But I think, visibility was one of the things that came up in our first meeting. There are quite a lot of GLBTI people within Banyule, but there's no real visibility of them. So... to create some visibility to reduce homophobia and other things, which are not overt, I don't think, in the Banyule area, but there is always a possibility without visibility. So I think that was one of the things that came up strongly, that we don't really do have anything that recognises us in the community.
Yeah, and Craig, I'm wondering whether has this been something that's kind of been in the back of your mind or on your radar of recent times? Or would this be something that your constituents have come to you and said, look, this is something that's vitally important to us. We need more visibility. We need more inclusion. We need more involvement.
Well, I must admit, I haven't had anyone come to me to say we should do this. I have a strong sense of social justice. I've only been elected since March 2011 on the council. And I must admit, the first year I tried to get the flag raised and the council then voted no. Last year we got the flag raised at least, but it was up from about 11 o'clock and I think it was down by 5 o'clock. So you have to really go and pass at the right time to see it. This year we're going to have the flag for the entire week.
Yeah.
And we're having a ceremony to raise it. We did have that ceremony last year and we're having an event as well, which I'll let Sean sell, part of his job. And we're getting the committee together. I think that was vitally important, and we'll get there.
Something I was just going to ask you, Craig. You've mentioned twice in the space of a couple of minutes social justice. So and I know that's very important for me, and it's actually a question I was going to ask all of you. Social justice, is that something that's on the radar for the three of you from a personal perspective, not just your own, and not professionally?
Absolutely, for me. I mean, yes. Both professionally and personally. Professionally, my role is not just about working alongside the GLBTI community, but working alongside other communities. And the driver for that is human rights and social justice, and where people's rights are either being, impinged upon or restricted. That's, for me personally, completely unacceptable. And I think it's kind of a privilege to be able to work on that in a professional capacity as well.
Isn't it? Privilege, and that's another word. I think the fact that people would trust in you. Have you had any sort of feedback, Craig, about people saying that they're glad that they feel that they're more represented and that they feel more included in the broader community at all?
Well, the City Council has been doing more and more in the public space. Mm. Overall, I'm getting that feedback without a doubt. At the same time, we set up this committee. We also set up the Multicultural Committee. And you'd think we haven't had a Multicultural Committee for all these years.
That's
was ridiculous
surprising.
As well.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we are getting in a far better space.
Mm. Do having these sorts of inclusion programs and showing to the community that you truly care about what they want, need and feel, does it bring the community closer together, do you think? And the broader community closer together?
I believe it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was just reflecting on this is our third year doing something for Idaho Day.
Mm.
And originally, I think nobody really knew what it was, both inside the council and in the larger community, and that's kind of interesting reflecting on how that's changed. I was thinking last year we did an event that focused on sports and sporting clubs as kind of an area where homophobia is known to exist. Mm. And I remember when we first started engaging with our cricket and football clubs, they really didn't want to have much to do with this topic, not knowing what it was about, really, thinking it was, you know, would often respond, we don't have any gay members of our team or whatever, something like that. But I think that's really starting to change. So through public sort of celebration and awareness events, sectors like, for example, sport and football clubs or whatever clubs are starting to change, so much so that there's even a bit of kind of focus now on working towards, you know, celebrating, not just saying no to homophobia, but celebrating diversity through sports in kind of maybe for next year's Idaho. So that, for me, that's exciting to see how sectors of the community can change towards inclusion, I think.
So do you think that what is happening now maybe is the shift in creating the space first for people to come out and be comfortable rather than addressing it once it has become an issue, you know, once somebody comes out or once somebody's known in the football club to be gay? Do you think it's this shift now? It's the other way around, make the environment safe and a soft place to fall for them first?
I think that's what the council's trying to achieve within Banyule, that we're actually providing some space for people, especially young people in Banyule, to see some GLBTI inclusion and actually feel safe, start to recognise it so they can come out and talk to people and see some of the provisions the council are doing. I was shocked last year when I saw the Idaho Day event occurring. I actually hadn't seen anything before in Banyule, and when I saw that I thought, wow, they're starting to do some interesting things.
Does it make you feel proud?
Yeah, I actually mentioned to my partner, I said, wow, Banyule's doing an Idaho Day event. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
really good.
It makes me feel proud that we're in that space.
You look at the next person, you maybe a little bit like the father figure overseeing your community. And I say that with respect. They're chuckling.
I'll get the walking stick out very shortly.
The other two are chuckling.
Not but the grandfather figure, the father figure.
I am a grandfather, so I can well be right.
But does it make you feel that sense of pride? Yeah.
Oh, I'm a great deal of pride in what Banyule's doing of lately in every field. We're promoting art more. We're promoting multiculturalism. I think we're in a very good space.
We're going to take a break. We're going to have a song. We're going to come back then with Philip, Sean and Craig. And we're talking about Idaho Day, but specifically within the Banyule City Council. You're on Joy 94.9. Stand up straight. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand up straight on Joy 94.9. Hi, everyone. You are with Michelle, and I've got a studio full of fellas. We've got Craig, Sean, and Philip from the Banyule.
Well, we are all fellas.
Yeah, that's true. So I wanted to see if we could get to know the three of you a little bit. We've got an idea of what you do at the council and about what Idaho Day functions you've got going on. And first question, I suppose, Craig, for you is that do you kind of get feedback from your kids and do they feel proud of what you are doing?
Yeah, my kids are quite proud of me, but I'm not allowed to misbehave in public. can't wear the wrong tie or speak too long or say inappropriate things. And what I mean by inappropriate, something boring.
You know, so you're not going to embarrass your kids.
No.
No. So do they ever have any sort of input, or they sort of tell you what they would like you to do, or, you know, a particular soapbox to stand on or anything like that?
Well, I often follow my lead. My oldest is a girl, daughter 23, son 21, and a daughter 16. All been involved in the community in their various ways, cricket clubs, and all those sorts of things. But they let me know when they think something should be done.
Have you lived in the Banyule area?
I was born in Ivanhoe.
Wow.
At a maternity hospital, which is now an aged care facility. I might be booking tickets to get back there.
Full circle.
Not yet.
Not yet.
We've got half an hour to go.
Yeah. And Sean, you do you live in the Banyule area?
No, I don't.
Well? No?
I don't. I live just across the border in Moreland Council, actually, in Brunswick.
And so your role at Banyule, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, it's about supporting diverse communities, trying to make our area more inclusive, and also our own organisation. You know, we're a workforce of, how many, Craig? I don't know, over 1,000, I think. It's pretty important, pretty large employer, so we're about trying to make it more inclusive. But, I mean, personally for me, I'm not from the GLBTI community. I'm not a gay man, but I mentioned before about the importance of social justice, and that's kind of, I think, really important to me. And, again, having kind of this interesting role, which is about trying to work alongside our community, in this case our GLBTI community, and trying to really support people that are living kind of their lives in Banyule to address and reduce issues like homophobia is sort of part of my role, something that I'm really, really passionate about. Sometimes I think, oh, am I the right person to be doing this? Yeah. But it's okay.
That's an interesting... Why would you ask that of yourself? Are you the right person?
I think it's kind of interesting because the areas of work that I look after are working with the GLBTI community, multicultural communities and people with a disability, and I don't fit into any of those demographic categories. So in many ways, I don't have an intimate personal understanding of what's going on in the life, and obviously the lived experience of any of those communities is really, really diverse and varied, but I don't have that. So I'm on the outside. But at the same time, I think that provides me with some advantages. For example, my job is about inclusion, and inclusion exists because of, you know, prejudicial attitudes from people outside of particular communities. So I think in some ways that's been advantageous for me as a little bit of a bridge builder.
Mm.
And I think that's something that has its merits anyway.
Had you heard about Idaho Day until the council's been involved?
Honestly, I first heard of Idaho maybe 4 years ago. I think I used to live in Darabin. Darabin Council did some events. I've been doing events for Idaho a few years ago, and coming to Banyule City Council, our first event was 3 years ago.
Mm.
So that was the first that I had heard in a professional capacity about Idaho. And I guess, you know, it's important to emphasise Idaho is kind of like, it's one thing. You know, it's one thing that we do, and it's an important part of the calendar, I guess, for us as a council, and it's an opportunity to bring the community together. But I've realised that it's now a global kind of celebration, which is pretty exciting to be a part of that.
It is. And Philip, tell us a little bit about how did you get involved with being on this advisory committee? And I know you live in the area, but have you done other volunteer work or community work before?
Yes, I've been involved in the community, the gay community, for quite a long time. I was in the Gainersbyn Choir as a tenor for 13 years and various other groups, so I've always been supportive of community events and community activities. So I suppose this is a variation to some extent, but I'm living in this council area now, and when I met Sean last year at the Idaho function, I just decided to go along at the last minute. He got me involved, so I thought it was a good community event to take on.
So how do you provide the advice to the council? So is it lived experience, for instance? Is it family members and friends that you might have within the GLBTI community? Do you get feedback from the community as to what they want, need, and how does that work?
Lived experience, I think. I'm a gay man and my partner and I live in the community in Banyule, and we understand and have experienced homophobia and discrimination in our lives, not necessarily in Banyule but through other avenues. So we can give some kind of awareness to the council, the committee as such, of what could help.
Has that been a bit of a motivator, the fact that you've experienced it yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. Certainly in a professional capacity as an engineer years ago, it was I got quite angry at times.
How did that, if you don't mind me asking, and we don't have to go there, but how did that manifest itself? Was it from bullying?
It was discrimination. It was actually harassment at work, and basically I got supported quite strongly by my management at that stage, but it was a difficult situation that got resolved, but it just showed that, you know, you could be discriminated against. I didn't think I would be a target for such discrimination, to be honest.
And it's, both Sean and Craig are actually nodding there. I mean, is that something that disturbs you, hearing someone talk about those sorts of experiences?
It does disturb me. I wouldn't have thought in this day and age people would be so stupid.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's an issue, so it's sort of needs to be addressed. For me, you asked about do people share lived experience, and that's definitely a part of what happens when our committee meets and talks. And for me, the lived experience of individuals is often kind of indicative of what's going on systemically. Like, for example, the lived experience of one individual being harassed in a workplace is often part of a bigger kind of story, same as within schools and so forth. So I guess for us, the lived experience of the individuals we engage with, not just through our committee but in other ways, kind of helps validate what's going on more broadly, whether it's in schools or workplaces or sporting clubs or our own organisation, and then to try and tackle things, because it's hard to tackle in individuals. You know, there's avenues for individuals to tackle their own individual experience of discrimination, and I guess what we're trying to do is get ahead of that and try and create inclusion and more welcoming environments, you know, before it occurs.
What are some of the examples of what you've done that have created, obviously Idaho Days we're saying, but what are some of the other things that you've done?
A couple of things that are happening at the moment. Our youth services area, so council provides youth services, have over the last maybe year or so established a specific kind of mentoring program. It's called the Gay Straight Alliance, which is bringing together young people from the GLBTI community, young people that are still in school mostly, along with matching them up with older members of the GLBTI community who can kind of mentor and support them through the various challenges that young people face. That project has kind of morphed into starting to do a lot of education in schools, really proactive stuff. I think that's been pretty amazing.
The feedback that I've had, and I've had a couple of guests on involved in that program as well, that is, I think, probably one of the most important programs, partly because of, I think our youth are, and you might be able to answer better than me, Craig, but I think our youth have a lot more brains than we might sometimes give them credit for, and they often perhaps speak a lot more from the heart. They're not perhaps as jaded, that kind of thing, and that program, I think, is so groundbreaking, and it's so it appears to be so inclusive. And I think that we should be very, very proud of the youth that are involved in that program as well.
Yeah.
Across the schools.
I think youth leadership in this area is just huge. You know? And maybe the enthusiasm of youth is maybe not always matched with the skills to deal with things that come up, particularly things like, you know, homophobia or transphobia.
But you get you often get much more of an honest and heartfelt type of reaction.
Yeah. I'd agree with that, yes.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I find it really interesting to ask people why it is we do what we do. I know you've mentioned about social justice. Is it also a moral sort of motivation to go down this path yourselves, do you wonder? Is it an upbringing? Is it the people that are around you? Is it how you've been raised? What do you think?
It's a good question. For example, I speak from my own behalf. Being elected to the council in 2011, I've tried to change, not what I would have thought council was backwards, but trying to get them more involved with the community. One of the things we're doing, we're tackling bullying at school. We're trying to be more proactive in that space. And this year, in third term, we're setting up for the very first time a youth council. We're going to have junior councillors. Wow. And we wanted to get what they believe the they want in their community, and it's going to be part of our program.
How did that come about? Did they say we need to be heard, or did you approach them? How does that work?
I approached them.
Wow.
It was one of my initiatives.
Wow. And how will they be part of this? Do they have to be elected in some way?
Or well, schools, all the secondary schools will be asked to participate. I think there's 13 of them, and we'll run a whole day of having a youth council. The schools will set what they want to be on the agenda.
Yeah.
We'll probably only have four agenda items, and for example, one of the issues may well be bullying. Mm. I'm not pre-proposing anything. It's what they want on the agenda. The foremost popular topics is what we'll choose.
Mm. That's that's a great initiative, and it comes back to what we were just saying about the youth. So, Sean and Phillips, how do you feel? Is this? Do you feel that it's a moral sort of motivation that you have in being behind this sort of work? Is it how you were raised? Is it just in you? Is it in your core?
Yeah, I think just justice and anti-discrimination is part of me. I don't believe anyone should be discriminated against for any reason. So to continue the, I suppose I've always been in continuing the fight against discrimination, but against GLBTI people in particular, it's quite important, and I'm always happy to lend weight into that from a personal point of view as well.
Mm. Yeah. Sean, you?
No, I would agree. I mean, for me, absolutely, there's a moral motivation. I think maybe some people need to be convinced that this is morally important. For me, it's kind of interesting being raised in, you know, quite a religious household. It's kind of interesting that discrimination or unfairness is definitely viewed as wrong, but that could be qualified. And so that's been kind of interesting for me about, well, should that issue or can that issue be qualified? And maybe it's not. If it's a moral issue, then discrimination is wrong wherever it occurs, right? So we shouldn't check that, or it's okay for some and not for others. So that's, for me, that's a huge driver, huge motivation.
We're going to go for another break in a moment. We're going to come back and ask what some of the challenges might have been from within your community in implementing some of these programs. You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
I spoke over my son again. I always do that. Sorry, Nelson. We are joined in the studio by Craig, Sean and Philip from Banyule City Council, talking about Idaho Day and about the community that is part of that council. So I'm wondering, guys, what have perhaps been some of the challenges? Have you ever had feedback from anyone that says, you know, what do you have to do this for? It's not interested. We're not interested. It's not important. Why bother? All of that kind of stuff.
George, you can lead the way.
Yes.
Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we have. Sort of a mixture. Not a great deal. Like a couple of things that come to mind. We were doing a whole bunch of community consultation earlier this year. And on some of the forms we use, we ask people to I give them the option to identify if they belong to a particular community. A person with a disability from the GLBTR community. And a couple of comments we had on those are, well, I don't pay my rates for those communities, which is kind of quite a disturbing comment. Fortunately, just a very small amount of comments like that. We've had other comments about, well, why are we asking? Why do we ask if people identify what?
So
we shouldn't be doing that.
How do you respond to that?
Oh,
when
we don't.
They ask?
We just ignore people.
It's the first time I've heard of it, I must admit.
No, we don't ignore people. What we try and do is, I guess, well, why we ask those questions is for a couple of reasons. One, we want to know that when we ask for the community's feedback, that we've heard from diverse parts of the community, right? That's one reason, obviously. So if we get 1,000 surveys and nobody's identified as in a particular category, well, we're missing a large percentage of voices. And secondly, it in itself is kind of a welcoming statement, right? It says we acknowledge that our community is diverse, not just in these areas, but in these are some of the areas. And I think the feedback we've had about that is that's really positive. That's a really small but significant kind of recognition. And that's why we do it. And we explain that to community members. And generally, when you do that, they go, okay, cool, that's fine.
And does it also send the message in a subliminal way that, hey, we want to hear from you, we care about you? Is it that sort of thing, do you think?
I think it does. I think Philip said earlier that he was quite impressed with, he discovered we last year had an Idaho Day. That's the best thing I've heard for quite some time on the matter. It's someone in the community that think they're having pride that we're doing something in the right space.
Mm. And it comes back to that maybe that proud dad sort of mindset for you, I think, doesn't it? So have you had any other issues at all with the public? And I know that's a general sort of question, but not everyone is like-minded like we are in the studio here or even at Joy. So have you... What have been some of the challenges with either the programs or, you know, do you have people coming into the offices saying, you can't do this?
I mean, I don't think it's that overt. I think Philip mentioned before that the kind of stuff around discrimination is probably not as overt. I probably suspect that there's maybe some conversations around the office that that are not always as, you know, open as they could be. And that's why we keep doing stuff. I guess it's really making conversations around diversity, and in this case, you know, gender and sexual diversity, part of the mainstream of an office or a community. I think that's important. I remember when, maybe 18 months ago, when the council was considering Idaho events, running events for Idaho, and establishing a GLBTI committee, we had a particular member of the public who kind of stood up and demanded that we define what the different terms included in the GLBTI acronym were, which was it's quite interesting. And obviously then someone asked, we responded, we wrote a letter and we sort of said, look, these are not council's terms, but here's where you can find more information. And he wasn't satisfied with that for some reason. He wanted, in a public forum, someone to, I think, stand up and say a dictionary definition of what it means to be gay or lesbian, or we responded by giving him technical definitions of terms. So there's a mixture of responses, whether or not, I don't know, what's your thoughts, Craig? What was the point of that?
The person does that on every aspect. It wasn't just about this issue. He does it on every issue.
So have you been challenged, Craig, in publicly? Does anybody ever, have anyone ever come up to you publicly and challenged what you're doing?
No, not generally speaking. I can't think of anyone particularly on this subject. What will be interesting once we're getting more into the space we are getting to see what the public reaction will be. I look forward to that. And if it's all positive, I'll be very, very happy. If there are the negative ones, we'll deal with a straight bat. Literally.
One of the things that I kind of found interesting last year and the year before is, you know, maybe they're not negative attitudes, for example, but I know for a fact that there's at least a handful of people that work in for Banyule City Council who, as a result of coming to an Idaho event or seeing the flag raising, have then said, you know, I've got a gay brother or a gay sister, or that they've got these stories in their families, which are not stories that were told before. That's really interesting.
And that's the green light, I think, that tends to go off. And I've heard this said. So once it comes back to what I said before, perhaps it's that creating of that soft place to fall, creating the environment first. And this is, you've just explained what happens if you provide that environment, then people, it's not necessarily someone in the office that might feel comfortable to come out, but that it means that they know that the space is a safe space to talk as well. You're nodding.
Well, it has changed significantly. I mean, even my last few workplaces, I've been out and it's been quite a positive environment. So my earlier experience was many, many years ago. So I've just seen everything change. And Sean's description of what's happening at Banyule, I don't think it's an isolated event. Mm. But our activities with the council is only going to hasten that improvement, I suppose.
What with the very first Idaho day, so this is your third coming up, yeah? What was the reaction like to the first one?
I don't know if anyone actually knew about it, to be perfectly honest.
I think that indicates it was smaller.
to be
diplomatic. I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah. It was a boutique event initially.
A select few.
Yeah.
That's how we sell it.
We didn't select them, but there was a few, so technically correct. I think it was much smaller. Mm. On purpose. Mm. And I guess, you know, quite
is that because you're testing the waters?
Yeah,
is that,
for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. There was small group of people that were passionate about this, partly personal experience, partly connections in the community. It was something that was discussed not as openly as it is now. Mm. So we started small. It was a small morning tea event. We handed around
Idaho didn't even badges raise the flag.
Didn't
did.
Raise the flag. We
did
had
have
very
the pink cupcakes.
We had rainbow cupcakes, and we had very small flags that were raised on the table. Now they've progressed to
very well, isn't that, we were very brave.
But isn't that amazing, though? Then, in the space of well, really, is only 2 years that you now have an official, beautiful flag raising ceremony that is a vital part of the day and a vital part of the event, and it's also creating visibility. You know.
That's completely about having better engagement with the community for me. You know, one of the first things, we've only had two committee meetings with our GLBTI committee, but one of the first things that was discussed by everyone was there's no visibility of this community. There needs to be more. And that's, for a council to hear that directly from its community is fantastic. It's what
and
we
vital,
want.
I yep, would think.
Absolutely.
We're just going to take another break, very quick break, on Joy 94.9, Stand Up Straight.
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9, nearly at the end of the show with Philip, Sean and Craig from the Banyule City Council. I've got one big question to ask you, then we're going to find out about the event. Big question, do you have much of an ally content in your programs? And by that I mean people that are that I consider to be within the GLBTI community that either advise you or provide suggestions or anything along those lines.
Yeah, it's a small component of our committee. We've definitely got people that are on the committee that are not from the GLBTI community but consider themselves strong allies. This is an area I'm really interested in growing a little bit further, about how we can do more to kind of attract and partner with our allies in that area. And I think, you know, what we're doing for Idaho Day is sort of trying to find and attract those people, a little bit of a magnet for those people, and to build that. So,
why do you think the allies are so important?
They actually help to build the programs. I mean, some of the allies are from partner organisations, aren't they? Like the Yarra Plenty Library and Berry Street and various organisations that are supportive. So,
get support of the community involved.
Yeah, and I think I was going to... That's what I think is probably the most important thing. It means that you can have any aspect of your community involved and being part of change, being part of something that's important. I think it's very important, you know, perhaps personally for them as well, I would think.
The more people that take ownership of what we're doing as a council's point of view, the more successful it'll be.
Yeah, I agree. So on that event, so we're going to give the guys out there a bit of information. So as we said, it's Idaho Day, which is actually on the Saturday the 17th, but your big event...
Yeah, we got it wrong. We're doing it on the 16th. That was a small mistake there.
Well, it's the eve of. It's the eve of. So you should potentially be able to get a lot more people there.
Idaho Eve, yeah.
Idaho Eve, yeah. So it's a cocktail event, and you've got a comedian, you've got a few guest speakers, and what else is going to be happening? We'll give the details.
A couple of things. So we've got two events happening on the Friday. One's the formal flag raising during the day, which is as...
What's involved with that? Obviously...
It's a flag. A flag is usually a symbol of different things. It could be a country. In this case, it's a rainbow flag. It's attached to a large...
Oh, come on. That's the first comedic line for the evening. So
what's
mean,
involved
do
in that
speaker?
Day?
Do you have a speaker? Do you have someone announces you?
Yep. So the flag raising is kind of a symbolic gesture, I guess, of trying to create a more welcoming environment. This year, we've got Vita Catalano, who's a Beyond Blue ambassador, talking about sharing a family story, actually, about family's story dealing with homophobia within their family, and how that can sometimes lead to kind of negative outcomes, including depression. We've got Daniel Whithouse, who's obviously a fantastic campaigner about reducing homophobia, sharing with what's going on you know, nationally and around the state, which is exciting. Really,
it is. And he drove around 266 days around Australia.
Yeah.
Challenging homophobia one cuppa at a time.
So it's you know, fantastic to have him involved. There's a formal flag raising. There's a morning tea of decadent rainbow cupcakes, which are quite good. After that, actually, we've got a 2 hours Daniel's facilitating a workshop for youth leaders around how they can create inclusive environments in schools with a focus on eliminating homophobia. That's a new event for us.
Great.
And then the night is kind of what we're really excited about. Not only is it connected to Philip's birthday unintentionally.
That's why I'm excited. Yeah.
9, 6 days later.
But we've got it's like a cocktail party. We wanted to do something a little bit more attractive for the general community. Joel Creasy, a fantastic young comedian, is doing a stand-up set for us, which should be really funny. I heard last time he took his clothes off, so that'll be interesting.
Phones will be ringing.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. And some music. It's about bringing the community together, so we're expecting a good turnout on the night and making a little bit of
education. I think
you've
doubled
the
size already.
Great. How do people book? How do they get involved?
Visit Council's website, so banyul.vic.gov.au, or phone 9490422 for more information.
Okay. So I hope that this, in fact, I believe that this event will be spectacular the whole day.
We have a special guest as well who shall, can they remain nameless or not?
No, you can say.
Michelle Barber, I think, from the...
Oh, from Joy.
From the wonderful Stand Up Straight program.
Yeah. So,
we'll also be presenting on the night.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Yes, mine will be the very, very short speech.
That's not what we discussed.
I think. No.
Mine might be shorter.
So I just wanted to thank you guys very much for sharing a little bit about yourselves, what amazing work Banyul Council is doing, and all three of you individually, what you are doing. And I think it's... imperative work. It's very important work, and I would love to have you back in 10 years' time and see how amazing you have created the Banyul Council area.
Look forward to it.
And all your people. So thank you guys again.
Thanks for having us.
And the best for the event for next Friday night.
Thank you very much.
So thank you guys. Thank you, program support. Josh across the desk from me this evening. And I just would like to leave you with your weekly challenge, which is, what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You've been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.